we pray. Open our ears and hearts, O Lord, that we may hear and embrace your truth. Amen. Today is a pretty exciting day for many people. It is a day that could possibly have a big impact on the future of this country. This is the day of the Iowa caucuses. At those caucuses, each party chooses the presidential candidate for whom their delegates will vote at the national conventions. In July, those delegates will come together with delegates from other states in the Union and choose the presidential candidates for each of the political parties. Then in November, voters all over the nation will go to the polls and choose the next president of the United States. When all is said and done, there will be many people who are happy because their candidate won, and many who are sad because theirs didn't. How about you? Last time we learned from Scripture that in the final analysis, God is the one who will do the choosing. Indeed, who has already done the choosing. He knows and will determine who the next president will be. He'll be guiding the minds of the voters so that their choice agrees with his. Therefore, whoever is elected, we will have reason to rejoice because we will know that God's will is done. Now, we should also bear in mind that at times God chooses leaders who bring trouble and sorrow upon a nation. And at times he does that because that nation needs that. It needs discipline for whatever reason, primarily because they have turned away from God. But whether for pain or pleasure, for sorrow or joy, we Christians can rejoice because what God ordains is always good. If we suffer in the process, we will meekly accept it because this is the will of God, the very God who has saved us through the sacrifice of his own Son. But more than that, And more about that at another time. So, what should we do in the meantime? In his letter to Timothy, Paul states, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." What should we do in the meantime? Pray. As we participate in the election process, we go to the one who truly rules in the kingdoms of men. He's the only one who can make things happen. Pray. Pray for the country. Pray for all who are in positions of leadership. Pray for those whom God has already granted authority. Pray for those who are trying to gain authority. Pray especially regarding what they do, what present and future leaders do. And I'm not talking about such things as the economy, immigration, foreign policy. Rather pray that for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We're told that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. When there is political chaos in a country, it becomes difficult to carry out our service to God the way we want to. So pray. Pray that we will be governed well, whoever the ruler happens to be. Then ours will be a peaceful nation in which we can live in godliness and reverence. Then we can carry the gospel message far and wide, unhindered, so that men can be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Pray for the spread of this gospel. Pray that it will be unhindered by the powers that be, because it's the only way of salvation. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Kingdoms rise and fall. Empires spring up and collapse. Dictatorships conquer and are conquered. And even our own republic will crumble someday. But the kingdom of God endures forever. So that's the ultimate objective of our prayers when we pray for those who are in authority. Jesus didn't come into the world to establish some kind of a political philosophy. Rather, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus established a spiritual kingdom which exists under all sorts of earthly forms. He did it through the suffering, death, and resurrection. He saved us not from financial disaster, not from ISIS, not from illegal aliens, not from liberals or conservatives. All of those things are only temporary. He saved us from things that are eternal, from everlasting consequences of sin. He saved us from forces much more powerful than any earthly kingdoms are, from the mighty forces of evil, from Satan, death, and hell. He took all of that upon himself, suffering for the sins that we committed, taking them away. The kingdom of God is not a place or an organization. It's not a political party. Neither will the people say, "Look, there it is," or "Look, here it is." Because the kingdom of God is within us. Here is where God rules with his grace. Here is where he instills faith and love. Here is where he leads us in righteousness and forgives us when we are unrighteous. This is what we have in mind, and this is what God had in mind in our text when he says that we should pray for kings and for all who are in authority. We want leaders. He wants leaders who will rule in such a way that we will not be hindered in our service to God, not hindered in our sharing of the gospel with others. God wants everybody to have what we have. And therefore pray. Pray for all people. Pray for those who are in authority, whoever they may be. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And so we pray. O Lord, grant us godly leaders who will maintain law and order so that we can freely serve you and share you with others. Amen. So have these things in mind as you sing hymn 577.